Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Congregation may be seated. Beloved friends in Christ Jesus, today the message will be based on the gospel lesson which you had just previously heard read, but also we need to also hear what's on the front of our bulletins here. For today, life has been set before you. And that is such a true statement for us, especially in light of this gospel lesson that we had. Because the first thing that you really need to hear and you need to understand is you need to realize that you are children of God, that you are baptized for this moment and for the next moment and for all eternity. And that is something that has been given to you. That is a free gift of God that you have received through that holy baptism. And the Holy Spirit continues to work that in you. And through that word, He continues to work life in you. You have eternal life in Jesus Christ. The good question then is what next? What next do we have? And that's really what Jesus is really talking about here in our gospel lesson. It really is all about discipleship. The cost of discipleship, because discipleship comes with a cost. Yes, we have to understand that in what we are saying today, first of all, that we have to understand this. We have to understand that the wages of sin is death. And that's a very real thing. And we need to know that because that is a cost that is very expensive. It is the ultimate cost. In fact, if we think about it this way, there is a pastor once that was out there putting the letters on the sign. We don't have one of those signs that you can put the letters up, but a lot of churches do have those signs that you can put the little message to the community. And he was putting that particular verse up there, and he says, "The wages of sin are death." And so while he was doing that, he saw this guy out of the corner of his eye. He was kind of walking down the street, and then all of a sudden he stops, and he looks, and he kind of scratches his head a little bit and everything, and he begins to continue to walk on, but the pastor heard him as he was walking along the road. He says, that's a cost that never inflates. We all know that today, how things inflate, how the costs go up in many ways in shocking amounts. Well, the thing about it is, though, is as we realize that, as we realize seeing that, the wages of sin is death, we also have to realize that there is another cost that's absolutely free, and that is eternal life. For the free gift of God is eternal life. We have to be certain about that because that's really what our faith brings us to. But yet, we look at the next step, and the next step is discipleship. We really have to understand that that is the next step in our faith, is discipleship, not only for us, but also with what we see in the Great Commission. And what the Great Commission calls us to do is, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." It's this discipleship thing that we have a problem with. You see, it's kind of like a house that you would win for free. I don't know how many of you ever do this, but I know one of the things that I do every year, and it's the same hope. I know that I'm not going to win, but, you know, it's the hope that you might, is that I go online, and when they do the HGTV house, do you ever sign up for that? Because what it is, it's a house that they're giving away, and by the time it's finished, I mean, it's like $2 million. These houses are expensive houses. But there's a little piece of trivia that you need to know about these houses. That since HGTV has been doing this, that there is not a winner today that isn't living in any of those houses. Why? Because even though that the house was free, there were costs along with it. You still have to pay for the electricity bills. You still have to pay for the taxes. You still have to pay for the insurance. You still have to do the upkeep and maintenance. The problem with it was that the cost of that was so great that they ended up having to get rid of the houses. Well, discipleship is one of those things too. It costs. There are costs involved. Even though eternal life is free, there is a cost to discipleship. And that's something that we need to know, and that's something that the crowds needed to know, that we're following Jesus. And when we're talking about crowds, we're not just talking about a handful. We're not talking about probably even just the few that might even be able to fill this. But no, he had crowds, huge crowds, great crowds, as it says, that were following him. We know from the Sermon on the Plain and the Sermon on the Mount, both of those, there were 5,000 men. Not counting the women and the children that were there. And I guarantee you, there were a lot of children. A lot of children. Because they were coming to hear from there. They were coming to be disciples of Christ. How that pales in comparison to when we look into our congregation. It's great. We see some children here this morning. We had children in our Sunday school. But was it enough? This place should be full of children. It should be overflowing with children. Because really, when we talk about discipleship, it starts in our own homes and in our own families. But yet there still is a cost to discipleship. And that's what Jesus talks about. But what are some of those costs of discipleship? First of all, it's one of those, he starts off telling this crowd, he says, you know, first of all, if you're going to follow me, you have to hate your father and your mother and your wife and your children and your brother and your sister and even yourself. Does that mean that you need to go up to your spouse and then say, I hate you? No, it's not. But what it means is that what you have to be willing to do in order to follow Jesus is you have to be able to proclaim His message and be ready in case that cost is that other person turning their back on you because of your belief. You see, that happens so much today, even in families. In fact, one of the reasons that sometimes we don't talk to our families is because we're scared. We're scared that if we say something to them that they're going to look at us different, or they're going to argue with us, or they're going to get mad at us and not speak to us again. Well, that may be the case. But yet, if you love them, if you want them to have that free gift of God, you need to bring that to them. After all, which is more expensive? Is it the soul of those children, of those people, of those loved ones? Or is it the fact that they may not talk to you for a while? Which is the greater cost? Which of them is the greater cost? You see, oftentimes today, we don't even want to think of the cost of discipleship. We don't even really want to think of the cost of the wages of sin, do we? In fact, all out there, that's what we see, isn't it? Many times people ignore the wage of sin. In fact, we don't want to hear about it. We don't want to listen to it. And then when somebody stands up to proclaim it, what did they do? They ridicule them. They throw them to the side. But we have to realize what that world is like out there. There are all kinds of temples out there. There are all kinds of temples that are built to the gods of this world. I know I just went to one last night. It's called the Mall. You see, Larry's shocked that I went to it. Yeah? And I'm not saying that it's not all right to go to Macy's and pick up a few things or something like that. But how many times do we see people's lives that revolve around the things and the stuff that they can buy and gather up together? That those things become their gods. But I'm going to tell you this, that's not the only one. In fact, I did go to another temple this past week. It's called Progressive Field. My son had to see a ball game. But how many times do our gods, do we build these elaborate stadiums to our gods, our elaborate thing to the gods? And there was one just across the way, too. I guess it's where they play basketball. There's one out in Avon. You know, you see it on the road, side of the road, as you see it over to the side. How many times do we build these temples? But you know what? That's not the only temples that are built out there. There are other temples that are built. There's one big one that's built out on Middle Road. Have you seen it? Only been completed a couple years. Called a high school. We don't think of it that way, but what gods do they teach about in there? How are our children indoctrinated? And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Elyria High Schools. And it's okay. And it's okay for your children to go. But you have to realize what they are teaching in there. How about evolution rather than the true Creator? Teaching our children that we come from little pieces of goo, or evolved from monkeys, rather than realizing that we were intelligently designed by a Creator that loves us and cares for us and sent His Son to die for us. And how about the other things that are out there too as well? They teach and indoctrinate. How many times do they teach our kids that it's better to be out there playing sports than it is to be in here and in church worshiping their Lord? How many times do sporting events get planned for nights or days in which should be dedicated to God? But yet we allow it to happen. And the problem is that we're scared to speak up against those gods and that kind of thing. Why? Because we're scared to be ridiculed, that we'll be made fun of. But yet Jesus says, take a look at it. It's an expensive thing to follow me. You have to be willing to lose that, to lose those relationships. But what's more important? Where's the pearl of greatest price? Is it in the fact that our kids have a good time, get to play a few sports, or is it that they need to hear the Word of God and they need to be and live in eternal life with Jesus Christ? What's more important? What's more important? What has the greatest value? You see, the other thing that he says to us is that discipleship has another cost to it. That you need to bear your cross. Well, what, Pastor, what does that mean? Says, yeah, I suffer the little things. You know, I have the aches and the pains and those kind of things throughout my life. But that's really not what Jesus is talking about here. Bearing the cross really means this. And I guarantee you those people that heard them knew it. It means that what you do is you totally submit yourself to God and to His will. Excuse me. You see, bearing the cross in that day, they knew that whenever you carried a cross, you actually carried it down this road. And in that road, there were people on both sides. And on each side of the road, they knew. And this was made public so that everyone knew that you were now under the total submission of the Roman Emperor, of Caesar. That you were totally submitted to them and to their will. It was meant to humiliate you. To make you humble. To bring you under servitude. You see, Jesus does it. He doesn't pull any punches here. He says, this is what you need to do. You need to be submissive to God. You need to submit to God in all. In fact, that's really what that whole thing about not liking yourself is, rather than making you the person that's being served, that you need to serve God. You need to serve God rather than yourself. And that's what you need to do. You need to totally submit to the lordship of God Himself. And that comes with a price. It means that you're not always going to get to do those things that you want to do. It means that you're not always going to do or have or want. It means that what you're going to do is you're going to give your life in service, because that's exactly what Jesus did. When Jesus became servant underneath that of Caesar, what he did was he gave his very life, his very blood, in order to serve us, not to serve himself. Because that's really what discipleship is all about. It's all about service. Serving those. And what better way for us to be in service to our neighbor and to our families, to our children, is that to teach them and raise them up, to take them away from those idols, To wake them away from those temples, to take them away from those gods. You know those gods, whether it be sports or whether it be the Wii or the Nintendo or the Game Boy or those kind of things. How many times have we seen it to where our kids are so busy at our games that they stay up all night? And then on Sunday morning, rather than being here in service, that they're too tired to get up. Well, that's where discipleship comes in. And what we need to do for our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids is to say, you need to be in church so you lose a bit of sleep. And you've got to be ready. You've got to be ready for them to argue and to complain and to grumble and all of those kind of things. But yet, what's the greatest cost? You see, Jesus tells them, yeah, that's going to be an unpopular thing that you're going to do with your child. But Jesus tells them, he doesn't hold back. He says, think of the cost. What's more costly? Is it the wages of sin, or is it that ridicule that you might get? That complaining you might have to bear? That difficult morning that you might have to put up with? After all, who would build a house and not consider the cost? Isn't it the same way with our children and our families? Isn't it the same way with the Word of God? Because if we start something that we don't finish, everybody's going to know it. I guarantee you, if we took and we started building a house back here in our lot back here, and we got up and we got to the foundation, all of a sudden we stopped, people would start to talk. I know how it is. I've talked to a couple of these neighbors. They love to talk. And I know you all do too. And so what would happen is that we would build it and they would start to talk and say, well, I wonder what's going on. It's been 3 months. They should have at least been framing that house by now. And eventually they would find out the truth and find out was that we didn't consider the cost. We thought we could build it for what we put into the foundation. And then all of a sudden we would be the joke, the laughing stock. We'd get all over town. Oh, look at those people. They don't know what they're doing. Isn't it the same way with God's Word? Isn't it the same way with salvation? Don't we need to weigh the costs that are here? Sure, discipleship may be one of those things that cost, and yes, it could be a shocking amount that can increase. We're pretty fortunate here. Most of us don't get much more than a few grumbles or that kind of thing. But that Christ can escalate. Sometimes it means that we might lose the reputation that we have in the community. Sometimes it means that we're going to have to stand up and say things. Can you imagine it? Sometimes we're going to have to face that, and we're going to have to be the ones that say the unpopular things. We're the ones that are going to have to stand up and say that it's wrong, that same-sex marriages are wrong. That it's not God's will. We're the ones that are going to have to bear the brunt of being called intolerant and unloving. We're the ones that are going to have to stand up and say this. But if we don't do it, if we don't show discipleship, who's going to? That's what the church is about, and that's what we are about. It's simply following Jesus and what He has for us. By simply being disciples, being that example, and then making disciples of others. Making disciples of our children and our grandchildren and to 10,000 generations beyond us. Yes, it might cost us. But what's the worst? What's the true cost if we don't? Is it the loss of a soul that can go to heaven? Is it the loss of a loved one that may not know Christ and may not have eternal life? But that's what discipleship is all about. It's not an easy thing. In fact, people aren't going to line out at our doors. I guarantee you that if we put in our constitution tomorrow that in order to join Grace Lutheran Church, that you had to hate everyone in your family, and that you had to bear your cross, and that you had to give everything that you had, there certainly wouldn't be a whole lot of people lining up at the door to join. But yet, isn't that what Jesus says here? Isn't that the words that Jesus brings to them? You have to be willing to do that. And it's not because that it's not all right to have things. It's not because it's not all right to have nice things and to gather things. But it really comes down to who's your God and what's important. Are you really going to lay these things down and follow me? Can you really do that and follow me? Or is it too expensive for you? That's the question that we have to ask ourselves. But thanks be to God that God, out of his love for us, we have to remember exactly who we are. That yes, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is salvation, is eternal life. And that's what we had because we are baptized children of God. And so for us to remember that, we have to remember that we are baptized for this moment now. This moment to proclaim his love to the world. To love people so much that we're willing to be ridiculed and scorned. That we're willing to give up relationships in order that they may know who Christ is. Are we willing to give up and have hardship? Are we willing to be in service to God and in service to one another? That's what he calls to do. Because that's really what we're all about. Isn't it? Aren't we here to gain lives for Christ and grow lives in Christ? And so if we are, we have to be willing to bear our cross and follow him. If we are, we need to be willing to stand up and teach our children and make them disciples as well. So that they too can know that love of Jesus Christ. But we need to be the ones that stand and follow him. It's not popular. It can be costly. But praise be to God that in Jesus Christ, he did what was unpopular too. He stood up. And he went to the cross and he served us by dying and washing us clean in his blood. So my prayer and my hope for you this day is that you remember that as baptized children of God, as his people, as redeemed children, as those who is washed clean, as those who have eternal life and it's been laid out in front of us, that we will live that life of discipleship in him. That we will teach that to our children, that we will teach that to the children next in our preschool, and we'll teach it in the streets of Elyria. For that's what God's will for us is. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.